thank you for listening to us.
Welcome to KDVS in Davis. This is Dave Dahl from the Dahlhouse. You've just listened to Renegade filling in for our 2 to 4 host, and he's done an amazing job. He's a little sleepy right now, but I want to thank him for filling in the pinch there. That was pretty useful. Hope you guys are doing well out there. Last week we had our fundraiser, and we made $46,000. I want to thank everyone who made a pledge, and for those of you who didn't make a pledge, well, just pledge to make another pledge next year, and we'll have to settle for that. I am going to be doing a little bit of blues, a little bit of jazz, and a little bit of Latin jazz, if you will. Throw that in there. Also may do a little commentary in between the pieces as my energy level fits me, and as I want to just talk about some things that have gone on in the last week. Hope everybody's well out there. It is approximately 4 o'clock, and I need to have little information going on here, and I will bore you for just 2 seconds to let you know that some of the things you hear on here are always going to be perfectly wonderful and uplifting, but according to the National Association of Politeness, I have to play this next little bit for you.
The following part of the KDVS programming may not be suitable for all listeners because it may contain material which may be perceived as unacceptable. The views presented in this hour do not necessarily reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California.
Okay, I'm back again. Getting my board all set up here. Okay, I've got all sorts of things going on wrong. I will be playing something for you in just a moment here. And, okay, so I've got Renegade giving me some assistance here. There we go. We're getting things together here, not to worry. I'm going to play a piece for you, a little something called Early in the Morning. I think it's appropriate right now.
Went down to Phil Trainee's to get something to eat. Waitress looked at me and said, man, you sure look beat.
You sure do.
It's early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
You know it's early in the morning and I ain't got nothing but the blues. Had a lot of money when I started out. Couldn't find my baby now.
Good morning. Once again, it is Dave Dahl in the Dahlhouse, and we're playing a little bit of blues, a little bit of jazz, something to keep you going on this early morning. And as we wander through the Dahlhouse, we'll take you through the theme of perception, which is what I'm going to try to weave throughout this set. And sometime it'll relate to pieces, but more often than not, it's more related to my whim, which at this point in the morning is, shall we say, mercurial at best, and will go wherever I wish it to. But as we wander through the Dahlhouse, I may try to use the metaphor, and let's wander into the living room and see what we've got here. Interesting little Cliff Clavin trivia. The living room, you ever wonder why it's called the living room? Can't you live in other places of the house? It's called the living room because back in the 1800s, there used to not be funeral parlors, and people used to have the dead displayed in their homes. Oddly enough, this is a true thing. And that's why they're called funeral parlors. Homes used to have parlors, and that's where the dead was typically displayed. And when America distanced itself from the notion of death and how it affects the loved ones and one's family, we sort of put it off premise and put it in a place that we called a funeral parlor. Well, we had this room in the house that was normally used for such things, a parlor. But we no longer had the dead in the house, so it became the living room. We're not going to have the dead there. We're going to have the living there. So if you ever wonder why it's the living room, that's why. Because, well, it used to be your own personal funeral parlor. A little bit of trivia to keep you going during the day here. Oh, interesting news going on. And, you know, perception in the living room, as it were. Let's talk about the topic of capital punishment. I could be considered to be a liberal to say that I come down on the anti-capital punishment side, and I tend to look at it as a matter of pragmatism. Our system isn't 100%, therefore we must convict a certain percentage of innocent folk and terminate their lives in order to pursue justice. And the Latins, back in Rome, the Latin term was lex talionis, or an eye for an eye, and rather an old Testament style justice. And in a society such as ours that proposes to be enlightened and democratic, one would wonder whether it's the way to go. Oftentimes, as in the New York Times this Sunday, there was findings that a percentage of those who were put to death were in fact innocent, and those on death row were found later on to have evidence that was either fake or testimony that wasn't true that put them on death row. So, it makes you wonder, and of course, naturally, those in the death row category who were falsely accused and possibly falsely terminated were people of color. So, perception in our society doesn't always, doesn't lean to those who are of a skin color that is darker than white. So, that's my notion of perception in the living room this week, is that our current capital punishment system does not perceive people equally. And since everyone is guaranteed equal justice under the law, ipso facto, it is not in itself a good system because it does not provide equal justice. For no other reason than that, I question the value of capital punishment since it goes against the very values of our nation as a system of laws and justice. So that's a little long-winded for me now. Let me not bore you anymore, but let me give you a little bit of soul and blues.
Just look out that window. Ain't the spring pretty? Not happening. Look at the pretty girl with the pretty shorts on. I'm waiting on the springtime. That's my time of year. Lord, I'm waiting on the springtime. That's my time of year. Especially in the spring. Yes, I love you all the year, but especially in the spring. I love to see you smile. I love to hear you call my name. Good night, buddy. Yeah.
Well, you know, I do like that in the Erlen Moran. Keeps me kind of pepe. Well, let me let you know what that last one was. That was Chick Willis in Springtime. And the piece before that was Pancho Sanchez, Early in the Morning, which is indeed what we are, very early in the morning. So those of you who are up with me, you have my sympathy, my appreciation, and my, and hopefully I have your patience as well. Well, we're in the living room as part of the dollhouse, and once again, it's perception, and we're going to touch on just one more bit of perception and the living room, and in this case, the living room means death, because as we mentioned earlier, that's what we used to display the bodies in the good old days. Well, one other thought about the death penalty for those of you out there who do believe in it. If we've already agreed that a certain percentage of innocent will be sentenced, whether they be people of color or not, there will be innocents sent to their death. The question is, would you be willing to sacrifice yourself or someone you care about to satisfy the needs of justice? People often refer to the death penalty as a form of revenge, and, you know, what if your sister or what if your mother was killed? Wouldn't you want to exact justice? The argument's great, as long as you're willing to trade someone else who's innocent, possibly, for that revenge. And if you're satisfied sending 3 to 5 people to their death who are innocent in order to exact your justice, that is a form of justice that I don't feel comfortable with, but you might, and that is certainly your prerogative in this great land of democracy that we call the United States. So, enough of my hubbub. Let me see if I can get a little piece of good music on for you. Hell, you know, it's 4:30 almost, and that kind of music, it just wakes me up. That's a piece from Chicago to Shreveport, and it's a compilation set. And, that is Loosen These Pains and Let Me Go by Albert Washington. You know, in a grim, weary world, that kind of blues music makes it all possible, doesn't it? So I want to thank you for sticking with me. You're at KDVS in Davis, 90.3. It is 4:22 on a fabulous Tuesday morning on the planet Earth in the outer spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, for those of you who need to get your astronomical bearings. For those of you who can tell your astronomical from a hole in the ground, as it were. Boy, I am getting tired. Now that we're in the dollhouse, we took a trip through the living room, talked about death and capital punishment. Now we're going to take a step into the rumpus room. And it's an older home, obviously. That's why it has a rumpus room, for those of you who grew up in one of those. I'm not sure what a rumpus is or why it needs a room, but many of the older homes have the rumpus rooms, also known as probably the game room or the den. But and I'm choosing this room because lots of things happen in there, but particularly people would play war games and chess and whatnot. And I thought I'd touch on a little bit of the goings-on in the Middle East and elsewhere. And touching on the idea of a non-liberated, surrounded state being attacked with helicopter gunships and tanks. All in the name of defeating terrorism. And if you look at the news and you see the destruction, I think that the nation of Israel is practicing the game of terrorism pretty well. I think they're exacting terror on a very large population. And just for a little touching on the notion of terrorism, how one might define it, terrorism would be in the act of war striking out on a civilian population at such times that the civilians have little or no warning and no ability to strike back. I think that the events of 9/11 fall within the definition, but almost many and any events in World War II, for example, for those who are aware of your World War II history, the bombing of Dresden and the firestorm that ensued, which did as much damage or almost as much as the dropping of the bombs on Nagasaki or Hiroshima, most of that death and destruction was exacted on civilian populations. What's going on with Israel? You could argue that the invasion of the Palestinian territories in such a way as is going on could be considered a form of terrorism on the civilian population. Naturally, the Palestinians are also guilty of their own brand of terrorism, but the question is it war or is it terror? Are they liberation fighters or are they simply terrorists? And of course, naturally, that's a matter of perspective, which is I talked in the beginning of the show, is what sort of the themes. How do you view things? How does one look at this in a way that makes any sense? And I think seeing all the madness that goes on, there is no right way. And certainly the Bush administration hasn't approached this one in any sort of unified view. We've sent a vice president, we've sent a secretary of state, and it's questionable how much we've got out of it. So, perspective. How do we perceive the Middle East? How do we perceive Israel's role in the Middle East? It used to be during the Cold War that they were a beneficial ally that allows us a stable democratic, quote-unquote, regime in the Middle East to keep our eye on things there. But that may be more of a liability now. And we have to, I think, assess where Israel fits within our foreign policy. And I don't think the Bush administration has really gotten a grip on that yet. There certainly is no doctrine that they're pursuing that makes any sense from one week to the other. But that's me babbling at you, and that's what I do. So that's my discussion in War in the Rumpus Room and Terrorism. Let's see if we can bring something perky to the whole situation here. Let's see what I've got on CD2 for you. Oops, let me hold on one moment here. There you go.
Excuse me. downtown. Why you say you don't want to marry me, little girl? You just want to be my friend. Oh, baby, I thought you'd say you love me, darling. Oh, baby, I thought you'd say you love me. But I found out, girl, that you were going out with another man. You say you love me. Oh, baby, I thought you say you love me. But I found out that you were seeing another man. That's all right, baby. You're gonna need my love someday. Baby, you're gonna need my love someday. You're gonna need, darling. You're gonna need my love someday. It's all right, baby. I'm gonna find me someone new. It's all right, baby. I'm gonna find me someone new too. Cause you say you don't wanna marry me, baby. You just wanna be my friend. I never see you again. Goodbye, baby. If I never see you again. So you don't wanna marry poor me. You just wanna be my friend.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stop arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
On April 27th, take the walk that's been saving babies for more than 32 years. Participate in the March of Dimes, Walk America, and give babies born prematurely help in their fight for life. Walk America will be held at the state capitol. Register today by calling 1-888-888-888. four babies and be a hero for the tiniest babies. That's 1-888-4-BABIES, B-A-B-I-E-S, on your telephone dial.
Well, welcome back. This is KDVS 90.3 in Davis. Hope everyone's doing well out there. A little musical interlude. We had a couple pieces for you. We had Mississippi Heat, and Excuse Me was the title, and then Memphis Barbecue Sessions. Oh, baby. Well, as we walk around the dollhouse, let's step into the bedroom. Yes, that's where all sorts of fun things happen, don't they? Not to mention, oh, things that perhaps aren't so fun, but hopefully fun. That's kind of the idea. A couple other pieces I came across this weekend in the Nuevo York Times. That's New York Times for those of you who don't speak Espanol. Couple interesting pieces. First one titled Young, Single, and Dating at Hyper Speed. Basically talks about the internet, our fabulous friend and cohort in crime, that allows you to do things very quickly. And in fact, for those of you in the dating world, there are a lot of websites devoted to dating and of all types and persuasions. And it's the story of this young fellow who just had broken up from a relationship and was on a rebound Orama and basically hooked up with 70 women. The article points out that he had kind of Johnny Depp shots, and hopefully that's not the Johnny Depp from Scissorhands, Edward Scissorhands, that is, and how he went home with about one-third of those in a fairly short period of time. And so that's, you know, one of the things we can thank the internet for better or worse, how to make your reproductive life more productive, I guess. I would look into that if I were you, if you're the only in the lonely side of things and you have a internet connection. Certainly it's as impersonal as a personal can get. Another piece in the arts and leisure section was a piece on the Marquis de Sade and how there's a new movie coming out and titled A Man for All Centuries and Sins. I recommend reading that piece as well, and it talks about the Marquis, once again, perception, how you perceive things. And the piece I just mentioned about dating, he created a Johnny Depp perception, and, you know, I'm assuming he lived up to it. And certainly he perceived a lot of women over time, and good news, bad news, that's really for you to decide. With regard to the Marquis, once again, perception. In his time, he obviously had his benefactors, those who were aroused and excited by his research, and obviously those such as the Catholic Church, which felt that it was heresy and the work of the devil, depending, once again, on how you look at things. Obviously, there is a population of those folks who feel that the Marquis was on the right track. I personally have not read all his works, although I've been told in reading the article, he spans the whole gamut of politics, economics, sexuality, obviously, perversion, such as it is. And, of course, perversion sounds like perception. It's related to the times in which we live. I've been reading a lot of Greek history lately, and certainly what was commonplace for the Greeks, we would feel, and certainly many parts of Kansas, aren't commonplace or shouldn't be right now. But at the time of the Greeks, which gave us so much that we use today in terms of philosophy and even our own vocabulary, for them, that sort of activity in the bedroom or gymnasium, as it were, was certainly okay and permissible. And very good piece on the Marquis de Sade. I recommend it highly. If I had done my research for you, I would be able to tell you quickly the new film that's coming out. And I will look through that very quick and see if I can give you a heads up. It's most likely going to be a film that will appear at Tower or the Crest, one of those sort of artsy theaters, not in your mainstream Orama. Although the movie Quills, that appeared at Tower as well, so that definitely wasn't mainstream. Quills was definitely a good film, recommended. It definitely is not an erotic date film. I wouldn't recommend it for that, but it is good examination of a life of a man who perceived that his work had value above and beyond his own personal freedom. And actually, many of the things he wrote about, he didn't have the opportunity to participate in simply because he was locked up. Anyway, perception, the bedroom, the dollhouse, all these things come together. Dating on the internet, masochism, sadism. Although the Marquis really, it can't be responsible for masochism since he was de Sade. Actually, that is the name of the film coming out. It's simply Sod, S-A-D-E, or for those of you who are confused by music, you might think of it as Sade. It's, you know, language. Such a funny thing. Such a funny thing it is. Anyway, I'm going to stop babbling at you for just a moment and see if I can get some more music on for you here.
Love. zambia para bailar.
Yo quiero zambia, zambia para bailar. Yo quiero zambia, zambia para gozar.
¡Ojo!
Well, welcome back. This is KDVS 90.3. Yep. Ooh. And I'm Dave Dahl, out of control here at the Music Board. I'm not quite a virgin at this anymore, but I've still got lots to learn. Well, we've just played a couple pieces. One of them was a Luther Allison, Part-Time Love, and that's from the Mississippi Blues compact disc. It's a nice compilation. And what you just heard there was Pancho Sanchez and Zambia. It's a wonderful rhythm to be with here in the morning. Got an announcement I'd like to read to you before I play the next piece, and that is the Dixon Family Praxis reminds you that breast cancer is now the number one cause of death for women between the age of 15 and 54. It doesn't have to be. Early diagnosis can mean that you'll have a better than 95% chance of becoming a survivor. Don't delay. Get tested today. This important community reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at Dixon Family Practice in Dixon. For more information, they can be reached at 1-707-635-1600. That number once again, 707-635-1600. On the air because they care about the health of women in our community. And now for our next piece, something a little bit different. A little bit different from the blues and what we've heard before. A little less harmonica, a little bit more on the guitar side of things.
Trouble no more, Lord, I'm trouble. I'm trouble on your mind. Oh, I can't be satisfied, and but I just can't keep from crying. Well, I know my little baby, she's gonna jump and shout. That old train came late, and I come walking now, Lord, I'm trouble. Trouble on your mind. Oh, I can't be satisfied, and I just can't keep from crying.
Can't keep on trying, girl. No, 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 no.
Welcome back to KDVS. This hour of KDVS has been sponsored by OMSOFT Technologies, who is proud to sponsor this hour of KDVS programming. OMSOFT Technologies provides local internet services, including 56K dial-up access, DSL, and website registration. For more information, you can call OMSOFT at 530-758-0119 or toll-free at 877-537-5669 or visit them on the web at www.omsoft.com. Hope you folks are doing well out there. It's 4:55 on a fabulous Tuesday morning. Temperature, nice enough to go out without a sweater. How's that for meteorological assessment? Well, we are with Dave Dahl in the dollhouse here, wandering through the house, talking about things. We've touched on the bedroom, the living room, the rumpus room, which would be basically death, war, and sex. So, once again, happy topics. At least we ended on a positive one. What else can we tell you here? Let's see what's going on. Another piece in the New York Times. I seem to be fixated on that periodical this weekend. Is the notion of a virtual reality, and there was a Supreme Court case voted on dealing with child pornography and the notion of if it's virtual, is it real? And if it isn't real, then is it prosecuted, so to speak? And the Supreme Court basically said that if it is a virtual rendition where no actual participant was involved, even if it is an act of child pornography in the sense that it depicts two children in a sexual act, that it is not a crime. Does not go against the Act of 1996, which I believe was titled the Child Pornography Act. And then the New York Times touches on several films that have come out over the last year, several years, I should say, one of them being Zelig by Woody Allen, which is a great pseudo-documentary piece that places this particular character, Zelig, in a historical context, and you see him with Winston Churchill and various other figures. And then you have the piece from Forrest Gump where you see him talking to LBJ, I believe, and as well as Kennedy. And needless to say, as computer power increases, I always like to say about technology, it's bigger, better, faster, cheaper. There are very few things you can say that about except maybe fast food, but it hardly gets better. So I guess it doesn't quite fit. But it makes you wonder what's real and what's not. Once again, perception. How do we perceive things? You know, what's to say? I mean, if you've ever seen the film, I want to call it Unreal Fantasy. I'm blanking at the moment. Where basically the whole film is computer generated. And it is based on real life characters. And if one were to look at it just briefly, you might even think that there were living actors in the film. And in reality, there was no actors whatsoever. I'm blanking on the film here for the moment. But to get back to my point at 4:50 in the morning, what is real and what is not with computers, that line will get blurred more and more and more. And is that a good thing? It certainly can be entertaining. It may drive down the cost of films. Perhaps there will be a virtual actor Academy Award and some algorithm out there will pick up an Oscar. Babe, hopefully it doesn't quite come to that. But who's to say? So something to think about, once again, perception. What you see, is it real? Whether it's on the net, the TV, or even what you hear on the radio. Who's to say that I'm real? I could be just a computer simulation and... In fact, some of my friends have told me that, and I think they're always looking for the reboot switch or the shutdown switch. You make the call there. But in perception, what the perceiver sees and believes becomes reality. If you've seen the film Brazil, at the end, it's up to the viewer to decide what the ending really is. Same thing with the film Das Boot, which is the German submarine film. How do you perceive that reality? Were they a bunch of Nazis and bad guys, or whether do you perceive them to be just guys who were drafted into a war they didn't want to be in, and you ended up rooting for by the end? Once again, perception, how you perceive things. And the funny thing is about perception is it's affected by distance and time. I always tell folks that you know, any two people are identical twins from a mile away. They look pretty much the same. So, oh, another thought on perception, just to bore you with here. Perception, as I said, is a function of distance and even time. And what seems to be the brightest, sharpest, clearest object you can see under an electron microscope is pitted and disturbed and distorted. So what's perfect is really a function of how close you are to it. The farther away you are, the better everything looks, because you don't see the detail. And as we know, the devil is indeed in the details. So let me see if I can cue up the next piece for you here and see where we're going to go next.
All right, mister, we're ready. Where's the announcer, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, John
Bell. Hey, I'm going to leave.
Say it again, John Bell.
That's right. A little more light over here so you can see who's here. That's it. No, that's better. Yeah. Over here on my left, Johnny Armand on tenor, alto, and flutes. And sitting down playing acoustic fingerstyle guitar, John Mark. Bass, Stephen Thompson.
Let's give it up for Steven.
To say you're right and say you're wrong. It seems to be the fashion to say you're right and say you're wrong. You've got to see both sides. You find yourself in jail for long. But they only do a gig. You're screaming at policemen, but they are only doing a gig. Time, take the time to figure out how yes you got that beat.
Education by the neighbors was trying to tell you many things before he died. Lenny Bruce was trying to tell you many things before he died. Don't throw rocks at policemen. Guilty of a crime. The laws must change one day. When it's gone, take some time.
Welcome back again to KDVS 90.3. Got a little station ID to play you here. But apparently I'm not doing it right. Oh, welcome to early morning show at KDVS 90.3 with Dave. I hate to admit it's me, but it is me. Let's try this again. No, this is not working. Well, I'm going to play you one more song before we give you the pre-recorded announcements here.
on an evening. I believe I'll throw my little dog a bone. Getting late on an evening, I think I'll chuck my little dog a bone. Cause if I don't feed that hound, you'll hear him all night long. Come on, son, let me hear that hound. I got a dog in my backyard. You know he howls when my baby leaves. I got a dog in my backyard, y'all. You know he howls when my baby leaves. You know she don't come home. I hear him all night long.
Y'all, it's a Gator Man. Real man gets education by the skin of his pants. Not listening to KDBS in neighbors where they play that thing never seen by the law of man.
Welcome back, and as the man just said, this is KDVS in Davis. This hour of KDVS programming is sponsored by Dos Coyotes Border Cafe, a longtime Davis institution offering healthy southwestern cuisine. For your convenience, Dos now has two Davis locations, the original cafe at the Marketplace in North Davis, as well as South Davis location at the Oakshade Town Center. Dos also has cafes in Sacramento, Roseville, with a Folsom restaurant opening soon. Coming this summer, Dos Coyotes will sponsor the UC Davis Free Music Series, or co-sponsor, on the UCD Quad. Enjoy the music. Well, once again, Dave Dahl in the Dollhouse, rambling through the house, looking for things to talk about. And I talked about perception as kind of the running theme of the show. And I perceive that my body's getting tired. So I'm going to let the music speak for me because I was told that's probably the best way to go about it. So let's pick up a little something here, shall we?
Thank you. Do you hear those whales?
Yes.
Do you hear what they're saying to each other?
No.
They're saying, you're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis.
Millions of people all over the world go hungry while we waste our land and water resources. Did you know that raising animals for human consumption uses 8 times as much water as growing fruits, vegetables, and grains? And that the same amount of land can produce 17 times more soybean protein than meat protein? For great vegetarian recipes and a free vegetarian starter kit, call the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals toll-free at 1-888-VEG-FOOD. That's 1-888-VEG-FOOD or visit goveg.com.
Welcome back to the Dollhouse. This is Dave Doll on KDVS 90.3. Perception, that's what we've been talking about amidst all this great music. Okay, so I'm a vegetarian. I played the last bit for PETA. And once again, perception. People often perceive vegetarians as being a little strange, a little different. Often the question I get is, what do you eat? As if the only thing to eat was meat. But I'd like to point out that most of the world isn't meat, thank gosh for that, and that you can get along fine just without. But not to knock any of you meat eaters out there, keep sharpening your canines and enjoy the feast, so don't want to slow down on that. But it is something to think about, how we perceive the world around us and what we eat. I have a couple members, associates of my family that and friends as well, that they don't like to discuss where our food comes from. Because then they would start to perceive the reality of what they're eating, and that would disturb them. We wouldn't want that, would we? No, we wish to keep our perceptions limited and focused on what we want to believe, want to perceive, or want to ignore perceiving one way or the other. So I guess that'd be part of the kitchen in the dollhouse, what we eat. And just as a little side note, to link back to the bedroom and the dating and the Marquis de Sade and all those kind of things, kind of linking the kitchen and the bedroom, is it's a personal theory of Dave Dahl that if you watch a person eat, you can learn much about what they'll be like in the bedroom. So just a little tip, you know, if they tend to be fussy, they don't like their food to touch, could be a sign of things to come, you know, in other areas. So do pay attention, you know, if they like those Hungry Man TV dinners that have everything separated nicely, or do they just slop it all together in a big bucket and enjoy it that way? Oh, there's so many ways to go with that one, but I think I've gone as far as I want to go. So let's play something from Mr. John Mayall. Thank you.
back, Debbie, for long. I'll be back there for long. I'll be back there for long.
Thank you very much.
That was an amazing piece by John Mayall, done in the Fillmore East in New York in 1969. Just an amazing piece. And this is Dave Dahl at KDVS 90.3. It is 5:34 on your Pacific Coast time. And I hope you're doing well out there. And let me play a little bit here for you. We have other DJs, obviously, at this great station. And one of the fellows that I enjoy very much, I believe, on Saturdays is this fellow.
Tune in to Mario's Blues Thing right here on KDVS 90.3 FM. Now on Saturdays from noon to 3, listen to new blues, all blues.
Yes, he's my blues god. I do bow down to Mario.
For children in hospitals who face days or even weeks of recovery time, homework does more than keep them up to date in school. It can provide a sense of normalcy and focus. While most of a child's stay involves physical recovery and healing, schoolwork can help boost mental health. It can remind children that their familiar daily routine still exists outside the hospital. At Shriners Hospitals, this type of continuous learning is either provided by teachers from local school districts or by teachers on staff at the hospital. Shriners Hospitals provide free orthopedic and burn treatment to children under 18. If you know a child Shriners can help, call 1-800-237-5055. Or visit www.shrinershq.org.
That was obviously a public service announcement for the Shriners. And I might want to point out, the Shriners is an amazing hospital. If you ever get a chance to check it out, it's near the UC Davis Med Center. It's a wonderful looking building, and it competes easily with the other UC Davis Med Center buildings. As pointed out in that PSA, there is free medical treatment for burn victims and people in need of orthopedic care under the age of 18. Kind of amazing. Did you hear that free part? When medical care is so expensive in so many other places, how is it they can get away with free? Well, the Shriners are obviously those guys who drive around in little cars with the Middle Eastern Fez hats on. And once again, perception. How is it that we perceive medical care as being so expensive and so out of control, but yet the Shriners, those oh so devious Shriners, can perform a service for free in a very nice building, no less. Perhaps there's a lesson we can perceive from our Shriners. Perhaps it's more than just driving little cars and kind of conical red felt hats. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe Dave Dahl will check that out sometime soon and report back to you. Nothing like a self-proclaimed homework assignment. Anyway, hope you're all doing well out there. It's 5:37, and let's play a little music for you.
Good thing never ends. I kind of
get up and hit the board tonight.
Tell you, baby, there ain't no sense. Now you got me, darling, up against the fence. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you. Well, now you go out in the evening, baby, don't say where you gone. 6 o'clock in the morning, child, you come waltzing home. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you. And home, ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you. Yeah, and I tried to tell you, baby, Lord, there ain't no sense. Now you got me, baby, and I'm up against the fence. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you.
Crying about you, baby. I call it Louisiana
supposed to. Some call it kidney stew, but I call it Louisiana stew, Louisiana gumbo stew.
Well, that about wraps it up. It's 5:59. Let me get my world under control here. And it's going on the next show. And we got Ronnie Ron and the Foundation coming to wake up your morning and shake your world. I'm about to step out. And that last track was by Junior Wells. And Baby Don't Do Me Wrong. So I hope you're all doing well out there. Looking forward to seeing again, or speaking to you again, I guess, in another 2 weeks. And hope you have a great world until then, and look forward to waking up with you at 4 a.m. Tuesday, 2 weeks from now. And coming up next, we have Ronnie Ron and the Foundation. He'll be on in just a moment.
And it's sleeping too. It ties